to Muffin Talk. Yora and welcome to Muffin Talk. This radio program is brought to you by the initiative Titi Paunamo, Study and Joy. Once a week, I invite guests to talk about their work and their passion for issues on community programs, social justice, religions and beliefs, and the care of the earth. My guest today is Shabir Rajkotwala. Shabir, a very warm welcome and hi to my talk radio program.
Yeah, Yora, it's really nice to be here. Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining. Shabir is originally from Mumbai. He is based in Auckland and is a leading member of the Dawoodi Bora Muslims in Auckland. Shabir, can you tell us a little bit more about the history of the Dawoodi Bora Muslims? Maybe we can start with the name of an and its origin.
So Dawoodi Boras, we are approximately a million strong Muslim group who originally from India. Tracing back our ancestries to Yemen and to Saudi Arabia, where Islam basically started to Prophet Muhammad. So we live and work here in New Zealand, and we are spread around 40 countries around the world. And I'm proud to say that I'm a very proud Kiwi New Zealander. The term Bora itself means traders, as I think so I explained, that it comes from the word vohorvu or vyavar, which means to trade. And that reflects the community's involvement in trade and business. And, you know, so that's a little bit about us. But
what language is that, Bora?
Bora is in Gujarati. It comes from the western part of India. Gujarati is spoken, one of the languages in around 3,000 odd dialects that we speak. So Gujarati is spoken in the western part predominantly, yeah.
So about the origins, so you say they come from...
So our origins are rooted in India. Dawoodi Bora is largely rooted in India. Going back nine centuries, we have been in India. And obviously, if you trace back in that sense, I mean, it would go back to Saudi Arabia where Prophet Muhammad lived. So the origin is from the Fatimi culture, which is the daughter of Prophet Muhammad, Fatima and her sons. And that's how we take our lineage from.
It's fascinating that you are taking it from a daughter of the prophet.
That's correct. Yeah.
Does that have an impact?
Women play a very important role in Fatimi culture. So yeah.
Yeah. So the women in your congregation will be very proud of it, right?
They are very well respected, very highly, placed in. A lot of them are entrepreneurs as well and business owners here in New Zealand as well, who are doing quite well for themselves as professionals, as entrepreneurs.
Yeah. Your presence in New Zealand is relatively recent.
Yes, yeah. I mean, in terms of New Zealand history timeline, yes, we are quite recent entry. Roughly around, the first immigrants came around 40 plus years ago.
Yeah.
They migrated from East Africa. And then the large wave came through around 2003, where mostly came from India. And then obviously we are not limited to India. We have community members who are from Pakistan, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, Africa. So, but obviously India becomes the largest stakeholder.
And are they all traders? Because they're all Bora. Are they all traders?
Not really. I mean, here we have most of them as professionals who have migrated. So you will find doctors, surgeons, engineers, IT professionals is one of the largest group amongst us. And then there are now everyone is starting to venture out into their own businesses. And we have many small businesses that have sprung up in the last few years, kind of. So we are going back to our roots of, even though we might be professionals, I mean, we are still going back to our roots of business. I mean, it could be as a professional or as a trader or a service provider. Yeah.
When I met you last time, you talked about not having any, not taking any debts or not loaning money. And if you are professionals and you're starting a new life in New Zealand, this must be very hard to continue with this tradition, isn't it?
It is, yeah, it is. I mean, so His Holiness Sayyid Mufaddal Saifuddin, who is the head of the Dawoodi Bohras, or the spiritual father of our community, who resides in Mumbai currently. So we get huge, there is a system in Islam called Kardan Hasana, which is mentioned in Quran as well. So Kardan Hasana is a good loan. So people, when they migrate to these countries or any assistance is seek, so His Holiness would at times, mostly provide, if a family is needed, then they would receive a Kardan Hasana to set up their family's system. So no form of interest is permitted in the community.
This is certainly also a way to bond the community together and to be a strong community.
Yes, it is. Yeah, I mean, there are many levels to it and many layers to that. And yes, one of them is definitely strong bonding in the community. It's about fostership. So His Holiness has promoted fostership a lot within the community. The idea presented by him, his father and his grandfather, is that when you give a person in fostership, make him so strong that he is able to not only help himself, but he's able to help someone else. So that it is not only limited to the first person that you're helping. It goes beyond that. So
you have a ripple effect.
Yes, yeah.
That's wonderful. And you mentioned already that the community consists of Indians, immigrants from Africa and Pakistan, etc. But the majority are Indians. And you speak Gujarati?
So we speak Lisanul Dawat, which is an amalgamated form of a language, which comprises a large part of Arabic, a good portion of Gujarati. The baseline sounds like Gujarati, but the words that we use are from Arabic, some borrowed from Persian language, some borrowed from Urdu, and so on, kind of. So it's an amalgamated language that was formed during the spread of the Dawoodi Bohra faith. Yeah, so this is Lisan, it's called Lisanul Dawat. It's not purely a Gujarati. It may sound like Gujarati, but it is not purely Gujarati.
Yeah. But if it's an amalgamation of different languages, it's almost like a secret language, isn't it?
Yes. I mean, it was not, but it was more because for the spiritual text and other things to be understood by the community members, yeah, more correctly. Because there are certain things in Arabic that would not have an equivalent meaning in Gujarati or in any other language, particularly text from Quran. So, and the emotions can never be translated or transferred in the same manner as it would be stated by in the Word of God. And that's language is Arabic, and that's Quran.
That helps a bit to understand. But I think it's wonderful to, if you have a community that has all these different roots, to find a way to incorporate all of them in a certain way. And that's great. And so the language is one thing that is quite special to you. And the other
it is,
the clothes. You told me about the clothes. Tell if somebody is from your community. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, men typically wear a three-piece clothing, which is the top layer is called a saya. Then you have the inner as a kurta and then an izar. And on head we wear a topi, which can vary from a white with a golden border to a full golden one. And there are different, and women would wear a two-piece thing, which is kind of, it's called rida. So there's a top part and then there's a bottom skirt kind of thing that's worn by the woman, which is colorful, which is quite colorful. And I think so you had seen last time one of the ladies when you were at the center, she was wearing one of those kind of.
I might ask you for a couple of pictures and we can add them in the video.
Yes, yeah, I mean, most certainly we can. Yeah, we would want the time. And so this is the dress that we wear typically. I mean, we are encouraged to wear in our daily lives. So in the Dawoodi Bora faith system, it is religion and your personal life are two different things. You live, it's a way of life. You live that way. So you will find a lot of people who would be wearing these attire to the work. They would be wearing to, you know, like my wife, she wears the rida to her work as well. And in New Zealand, it's pretty much globally as well. I mean, you would be in Houston or you may be in London or you may be anywhere. And even in Germany, we have a community. So you will find them wearing the same attire and same traditional values that they carry.
And has that been from the beginning? Is that like the person who started your communities in the beginning, hundreds of years? How long ago was that?
Yes, so, I mean, Islam basically started roughly 1400 plus years. Now we are 1400 years on, kind of. So we are from since then. The tradition and, you know, the clothings may have slightly changed as things have changed in life, but yeah, this has been our clothing for ever since we know, and yeah, this form of dressing.
And you have a center, a community center in Auckland. Can you tell us a little bit how life is in the community center? How important is it?
So we purchased this, I mean, it was in 2007, 2008, we bought this community center when we felt the need that the congregation needs. And this was all done by assistance of His Holiness's father, late His Holiness, Sayyidina Muhammad Brandon, who helped us buy this community center. And so this has become a meeting point for us. Everything is held over there. We did show you that there are classes down there, which we call a madrasa, where it's religious and cultural education is imparted over there. So both the things happen in the same. And then on the upper level that you saw, that's a prayer hall where men and women congregate together and pray. During Ramadan, we'll be having our prayers. And the other important month period is the beginning of the year, is Muharram. And the 10 days, there are sermons that are held. And we take time off from our work. We devote purely time to those 10 days and attend those sermons. So everything is held. It's one kind of place where we... The Markaz means center. So Wajihi is a name as a pronoun, and then Markaz means a center. So it's a center for us. And hopefully one day we will build a masjid over there. Yeah.
Would you, is the center different to any other Muslim centers, or would the mosque be different to any other mosque? Or would it be exactly the same, but with your language and with your clothes, etc.?
The center probably, I think so, would be quite similar. I mean, and even the mosque is a masjid would be the same as any other masjid. Maybe the architectural features might, because we incorporate the Fatimid style of architecture. So we have a very unique lineage to this architecture, which goes back to Cairo and Misr, where the Fatimid imams had founded these cities. and the architecture from there is borrowed into our masjids around the world. So wherever you go, you will find a very unique character, architectural characteristic in our masjids, which is kind of, but inside, the orientation of Qibla is exactly how all Muslims would do. We have the same. Rest, pretty much it's the same thing. Mm. So we aren't any different than Muslim, but any of them.
So is there something like a main masjid for your community, like in Mumbai maybe, or in, I don't know which country, because I hear that you talk about Father Holiness, and to me, as I'm not so familiar with your faith, is to me, I compare it a little bit to like a pope. Is that correct? It's like a grand imam, or how can I see that?
So his position is Da'il Mutlaq. And the correct way to define, he is wise gerent to the imam who is in seclusion. So there is a lineage of imam that is going on, and he's a wise gerent to the imam. Yeah. And yes, I mean, there isn't a central masjid per se, but there are masjids that have significance and importance in the faith system, like when they were built, where they are, or you know. So in that sense, yes, there are certain masjid that hold a special value to our faith.
Yeah. Where are they located?
Pretty much scattered everywhere. Like there are a few in Egypt. One of the, it was a UNESCO, it's an 11th century masjid that was renovated. It was in a very depleted state, and UNESCO had given up on that project. And His Holiness Sayyidina Muhammad Burhan, the father of the current Sayyidina, he undertook the renovation of the masjid. It was in such a bad state that, you know, it had become a playground. So His Holiness undertook, UNESCO had given up, and we rebuilt the whole in 23 months. We completed the project, which was an impossible task. That's one of the masjid that is very important for us. Mm-hmm. So built by the imams, built by, you know, like there is one in Mumbai recently that's been redone after 100 years now. So that is an important one for us as well. That's called Gurat al-Masajid, Saifi Masjid. And we believe in retaining the architectural values of the building unamended, and, you know, kind of recreating the same as it was before.
Okay. And now that we are approaching Ramadan, which day does Ramadan start for you? Which day of the week?
So, tomorrow we start with Ramadan. We follow the mystery calendar system. Yeah.
So it's the 10th of March, because we are pre-recording the interview, because we wanted to respect your time during Ramadan, your fasting.
So
10th of March it will start?
It will start on 10th of March for us, yeah.
And how will you celebrate it in the community?
So, yeah, it would be at the center. We would be holding regular prayers as prescribed. I mean, the five prayers would be held at the center. And in the evening, it would be the breaking of the fast. We would be serving iftar. There would be recitation of Quran every day. We try and complete as many as the Quran we can, because it's the month when the Quran has its most significance, and it's been revealed around at that time. There's one particular night during Ramadan that on that particular night we stay awake all night and pray. It's called Laylatul Qadr. It's a very important night for us. Apart from that, we have many hafiz of Quran. The children are memorizing Quran quite a lot. So that is encouraged quite a lot within the community. to memorize entire. So the, currently we have 11, a girl who is around 14 years old. She has memorized, probably the youngest in our community, who has memorized the entire 625 pages of Quran.
Oh my God.
We have actually four almost...
When did she start learning about it? When she was little?
Well, she started at the age of five. So just recently, and another child who completed, who has left Auckland, but very young, I mean, at the age of, I think, so 9 or 10, he has completed in entire Quran. So, yeah, so they start very early, and, yeah, so we have four current hafiz, and there are many more in making, yeah. So Quran is a very important thing for us, to memorize the Quran.
Yes.
And His Holiness' vision is that every child should be memorizing Quran.
And when we think of time of fasting, in many religions we have fasting, almsgiving, and outreach to community, prayer, all combined, fasting, prayer, almsgiving. And yes. Do you have also almsgiving or reaching out to the wider community?
Yes, we do. I mean, so, I mean, what we do is we, in Ramadan, we... the iftar food that we cook for ourselves, we would be sharing it with the wider community to start with the neighbors, then with communities like, we have, you must have noticed, we have a Pataka Kai box outside the community. So that's kind of a community food box that we have left, where we, every day probably we would be putting in food there. And apart from that, we would be going to Seti Mission and things alike, and many other organizations where we would be giving away food during our... And it's not only in Ramadan. So we do this thing through a community initiative called Project Rise that takes care of...
Can you say that again, Project? What is the name, Project?
It's called Project Rise.
Project Rise.
I'll share the link with you so you can have a look at the activities that Project Rise does.
Yes.
And yeah.
And
coincidentally, this year, coincidentally, this year Easter is in between Ramadan, so we share a very good relationship with the neighboring churches, especially the Presbyterian Church right next door to us. We call them often over, and a couple of years ago we had a barbecue with them during Ramadan, and you know, so obviously we wouldn't eat, but we did take food for them. And so this year we do intend to do the same, to celebrate the Easter with us, and share something with us. So it's...
What about environment? Do you also have projects regarding the environment?
So Project Rise is the wing that would take care of such things. I mean, they would be, we have done quite a few environmental projects as well. This year, His Holiness turned 80 years. So in West Auckland, in Newland, there is Olympic Park is around there. We planted 80 trees and so on. So it's been going on for a few years. That every year, and then earlier this year, last year, we did a project at Matukalink, that's up in Waitakere and around Bethels, where we planted and, you know, kind of. So there's quite a bit of environmental work being done. So His Holiness has a vision of planting 1 million trees globally. And then we have tied up with many NGOs around the world to do various projects. In India, the scales are very huge as compared to what we do here. Recently in Dubai, in Ashura, that's the 10 days. After completion of those 10 days, around, I think, so 100, don't quote me on the number, but I think so it was around 100 palm trees were planted, if I'm not wrong, yeah. So, yeah, so that's... It's just an ongoing work, kind of. It's a work in progress.
So maybe
we've done beach cleanups in Auckland. We have done, we have done a lot of stream cleanups in West Auckland. We have done quite a lot of work in stream cleanups and beach cleanups. Yeah.
Well, that's really important. And maybe your community will join in the Auckland Faith Council for the next creek cleanup that we're planning.
Yes, yeah. I mean, I think so last year I've reached out, but I think so. Oh, we were not able to communicate, whatever reason.
Well, last year we had to cancel our big event of cleanup because it collided with the big storms. So it was not safe to do it. But for this year, we have new plans.
Yes, we would be more than keen. We are also planning a blood drive in April, a blood donation drive. So that would be the best way to give back to the community. What more precious than blood can be?
So you would work together with NZ Blood?
Yes, we are. I mean, we were not able to do it this side of the Ramadan. Some dates clashed, and so we're hoping that we'll be able to do that on the other side of the Ramadan.
Thank you so much, Abir. That's really enlightening to hear what your community is doing. How many people are you here in Auckland?
We are roughly around 115 families in Auckland and growing. Every day we are getting more migrants coming in.
Younger
families. So,
You have young families and 115 and that will grow.
Yeah, they are.
So thank you very much for this interview. I wish you all the best. And do we say happy Ramadan now?
Yes, the right would be Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Mubarak. Well, that's Arabic. Okay, then I can understand that part. Thank you very much, Abir, for this.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
And just a few notices for Titi Ponamo Study and Joy. For those who are for Christians, but it's open to anybody who is interested in the Bible. We are talking about Bible stories. What do they mean? And that's on the first Sundays of the month, on the 7th and 5th of May are the next sessions. And we have a Bible scholar with us, Brother Kieran Finn, who will help us finding ways of understanding these stories. And then, of course, there are a lot of miracles in the Bible, as they are in the Quran also. But the mystery of miracles that we are looking at in the Bible, we are talking about on Mondays, 8, 15, 22, and 29th of April. So that's all Mondays in April, except for Easter Monday, 7 to 8:30 p.m. All these sessions are on Zoom. And then we have an online on-site event about woodcraft and reflections. And this is about the reflection booklet that we have published a few months ago, and this is focused on carvings on hands. These booklets are available in English, Samoan, and now also in Fijian. And that event will be held on Saturday, 23rd of March, 10 to 11:30 at Maria Sumter Parish, Beechhaven in Auckland. For further information and registration, please check out my website at www.studyjoy.nz. Kia kaha and keep safe, and thank you so much, Shabir.
Thank you. Thank you for hosting. Thank you.